We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Folks, it's a Felder Friday. We made it to the weekend. We got our man Michael Felder with us from Stadium TV at In the Bleachers. He's battle rapping about college football on Twitter. And we've got no guest today, which means a heavy dose of talking ball. Felder, we will get to your Felder 5. We will get to a couple of other picks that or talking points that I've got lined up here in the rundown. We will look to bounce back after a pretty demoralizing outing with That's My Dog last Saturday. So, I mean, we had some near losses, man. Texas, Nebraska, just some real heartbreak. You had Penn State, by the way, which was looking really good until Sean Clifford decided, nah, I'm not coming back in this game.
Yeah, that was a rough one. I will litigate my case when we get to that point because I don't think that should count against me.
Oh, okay, great. So we lose a game that we predict, but you want your money back at the window because the quarterback gets knocked out. All right, very good.
Yeah, that's not fair to me.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right, fantastic. Sounds interesting. Hey, by the way, I don't care. I just want to get this out there. This is a public service announcement because it's a Friday afternoon. I don't care about a questionable check swing call in a Dodgers-Giants game, okay? No one cares. It's baseball. If you're getting upset about, like, human umpiring and the way that sport is officiated, it's a joke. Felder, I know you don't watch baseball, and I don't either, but replay in Major League Baseball, it doesn't work. Like, it's the opposite of how it works in college football, where they, like, catch mistakes and they overturn stuff. Like, it's a joke. Like people are
so. What happened? Like people are really mad about this.
People are triggered because the Giants had like a check swing strike three call. You know, and you know how check swings go. Like, does the barrel of the bat cross home plate? Because if it does, ring them up. It's a strike. That's how the game ended, and it was a one run game, bottom of the ninth, tying run on whatever. It's baseball, man. Like I watched a little bit of the Braves. And by the way, it doesn't matter. I mean, the Dodgers are going to get smoked by Atlanta anyway. But, man, replay in Major League Baseball, it doesn't work. Like, it just doesn't. And, I mean, we can talk about targeting and how that works in college football, but...
It's bad. It works bad.
It does, but in terms of, like, overturning calls, did he get a toe down? Was it a complete pass? It actually, in my experience anyway, I think it actually does work in college.
I don't know. I'm so often disappointed. But I also think that a lot of it has to do with what the goal that they're going for is to police what looks the worst, not what's actually bad. Does that make sense?
Well, when it comes to player safety, I mean, if it looks bad, you're out of there. Like, even, exactly. You know, like, especially with targeting stuff. Yeah, I'm with you there. But,
yeah.
In terms of the rules of the game, like, you know, inbounds, out of bounds, catch, no catch. Yeah, I mean, like, I think for the most part, replay works in college football.
Yeah, I'll say for the most part. I also think that, I don't know, the big thing for me, the big thing that I think about when I, like, in that regard is, yeah, catch, no catch. Like, I do love that we have these pylon cams now. Those are great.
It showed up huge in the Red River Showdown last week, right? With that Mims touchdown that tied the game.
Yes, and I think it's, but I also think it's incredibly, like, it's wild that it took this long to get a standardized, like, we need a goal line shot, and we probably need a goal line overhead shot. Like, why did it take this long to get that?
And oh, by the way, there's some stadiums based on the conference and based on the TV network that's broadcasting it. There are some stadiums that you do not have a straight down the goal line view,
yep.
Which is crazy, but we're getting there. We're getting there. I want to talk about one of the things that you put in your bulletin, Felder. And by the way, I'll let you plug this because I know it's relatively new. But Felder has a bulletin. You can subscribe to it. You get emails. There's a website, the whole shebang. In addition to getting wing recipes and HD pics of wing recipes, which is on a Friday, just money. I thought your commentary about quarterbacking coming out of last Saturday and going into week 7 was so on point because quarterbacks are often front and center, Felder. I mean, they touch the ball on every possession, blah, blah, blah. They're the stars. But you had several scenarios play out last Saturday that really swung the outcomes of games. And it all came down to, is your backup quarterback ready? Can they come in and play and, like, actually manage an offense and score points, or can't they? And I think that played out in several games last week. It's been playing out in Athens all year with Stetson Bennett, right? But you look at Penn State, Iowa. You look at Texas, Oklahoma. You look at, you know, shit, look at Nebraska, Michigan. Adrian Martinez. Like, guy's been playing quarterback for 9 years. He still fumbles in big spots. You know what I mean? So I did want to tee that up for you because I thought that was on point from last week.
Well, I think there's a couple different things, right? So, like, one of the things is practice time. And how, like, talking to people at Penn State, and we talked to Nubias, right? We talked to him the week before, and we didn't even think to ask about this. Is the backup going to be ready at all? But talking to people at Penn State coming out of the game, they're like, yeah, no. Of course our backup's not ready to play. All of the reps go to Sean Clifford in practice, and to design a game plan for Taquan Roberson would be to design a completely different game plan than what we're going to do with Sean Clifford. And it showed. He got in the game and had no idea what he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't get the silent countdown. They couldn't throw the ball. Like, because it wasn't just an elimination. Like, you lose Sean Clifford, you lose Sean Clifford. Like, and in theory, everybody's like, you lose one player. But what they lost with Clifford going out was they lost their best player, Jahan Dotson.
Correct.
Like, he was on the field, but he was useless.
Yeah, didn't matter.
And so I think it's going to be interesting to see. I know they got a bye week, and then they got Illinois. So it'll be interesting to see how they retool this game plan for however long Clifford is out, and hopefully he gets to come back. But that's one of them. The other part of it is with Oklahoma, right? Oklahoma, there are two things. One, I don't know if Caleb Williams is a better quarterback than Spencer Rattler, but I know he's a different quarterback than Spencer Rattler. And I did a thing over on Stadium where I tried to, like, explain that to people, but essentially with Spencer Rattler, you are playing 10 on 11 football, like with a jugs machine, right? Like, you're playing, you have 10 guys to their 11 guys, and then you have somebody in the pocket that's going to throw the ball, but you don't have to worry about him ever running.
Right.
Like, he's a non-threat. And watching... And remember, Oklahoma has offensive line issues, right? Like, he gets Rattler has been pressured. He's had to throw the ball before he wants to. Like, he's somebody that needs protection. You know, like, he's a Tom Brady. Like, I'm not going to say he's Tom Brady-style quarterback, but he fits into that zone of, I do want to throw. I do not want to run. And Caleb Williams on that, what was that? 65 or 55-yard touchdown run? Like, basically... They were in, I believe, 11 personnel, but the point is they used the running back as a lead blocker. which means you get one extra blocker, and then the quarterback can run the football. And they didn't have to change the offense a ton between Williams and Rattler. But what they did was now add an extra player to the field, right? They added an extra player to the run game. Excuse me. So there's a first down that Oklahoma gets. It's in the first quarter, I believe. There's a first down that Oklahoma gets inside the five. And they pick up a first down. And that sounds well and good. It gets them a possession where they can get a touchdown. But the reality of it is the play should have been a touchdown. Why should it have been a touchdown? The difference is, with Caleb Williams, that play is a touchdown. With Spencer Rattler, it's not a touchdown. Why isn't it a touchdown? Because the offside linebacker, offside safety, don't care about what Spencer Rattler is doing. He hands the ball off and then basically backs out of the play. With Williams, that can be a keep. And those guys have to hang on the edge. And we see it play itself out on a third and one for Oklahoma, where Williams does give, but the defensive end, the linebacker, and the safety all hesitate because they have to double check him. And that opens up a lane to pick up not just the first down, but they pick up like six extra yards. That's the difference here. And it also works because the way that Oklahoma practices, and I've only seen it. I never did it. Like when I was in football growing up, your ones got 75% of the snaps. And then twos got 20, and then everybody else got whatever's left of that 5%.
Yeah.
So nobody's ready. Like, you're like, no, we're just going to get our ones ready and get our ones good to go and some package backups or package plays, and we'll get, like, but blitz period, I need this guy to do that. And 9-on-7, I need this guy to do that. And it's... Now, we see a lot of teams, and I first experienced it, obviously, honestly, when Larry Fedora was at UNC. They said they were going to run 120 plays at practice. I was like, what? That's insane. We used to do like 65-play scrimmages, and that was enough. He was like, no, they're going to do 100. But the way they do it is everybody runs. It's a quicker tempo practice, and I think Oklahoma, they institute a lot of that as well, where it's not you practice and then do conditioning. It's part of your conditioning is the practice where you have to run stuff out. And when you run stuff out, you can get reps with the other team because they have to wait for you to come back. So you're getting more and more reps. Oregon under Chip Kelly was doing this a lot too. I'm sure UCLA does as well, where those plays get run through and then the backups run the play. And then the next guy runs the play. So they get more reps for everybody. And I think it reflects itself in a lot of these tempo teams. They can plug and play guys a little bit easier than teams that are pro style is not the right word, but teams that have more of an old school practice format.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that coming out of last week, I mean, so much of the talk was about, you know, what happened in those featured games and number one Alabama going down. But when I read your piece, I'm like, man, it's so simple, but it's so true because what happened, like take Texas and Oklahoma, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, the Longhorns are cooking that game. I mean, they're up 21 points
yep.
in the first half. They are balling on Oklahoma. And Lincoln Riley, to his credit, is like, we got to make a change. And we got to do it now in a rivalry game to save our season. And, yeah, is that hyperbole? Like, okay, maybe. But, like,
sure.
You've recruited this five-star kid out of D.C. for a reason. Like, you know what he's got. You see him in practice. And he comes in
yep.
and Oklahoma's offense just goes, I mean, it's literally like flipping on a light switch. I mean, the rest
yeah.
of that game, they were unstoppable. So I thought it was great. Felder, you're obviously a recruiting guy. I mean, this is your bag. So, like, you knew about Caleb Williams
yeah.
before he came into that game. But, you know, the rest
I think
of
everybody
way,
knew about him.
Well, the rest of the way, though, like this, for me, this changes the trajectory of Oklahoma's season. If they can keep this up, because this has been a Sooners team. I mean, Felder, they've beaten – five FBS teams by single digits this year. I mean, like
right.
they haven't blown out anybody. They haven't been on track. And with Caleb Williams coming in the game against a Texas defense that granted was gassed and couldn't get stops because they were on the field so damn much, especially in that second half. It was awesome to watch, man. And so I give Lincoln Riley a ton of credit. That dude knows quarterbacks, and we'll see how this plays out because it is a soap opera in Norman this week. I mean,
oh, yeah.
it has been dramatic. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's I mean, the student reporter with the binoculars, like that whole situation has been wild. I will say this. I don't think that Caleb Williams is going to be the solution for the season. Because as long as Rattler, and I don't know if he's there or not there, or if he's going to transfer or not transfer, but I think it's a game-to-game situation where you have to figure out which quarterback is best for this scenario. And I think that's something that, that's another thing that, like we've touched on this with, and Oklahoma is not Florida State. And I'm not saying that by any stretch. I know Florida State has a lot more issues than Oklahoma, but what I mean is that there are going to be some games that you need Rattler's composure and his greater control of the offense. And there's going to be games where, you know what, I need my guy to be a super athlete and I need him to help us into our game or we're not going to be able to play.
Yeah.
So I think it's a game-to-game thing as long as both of those guys stick around.
And by the way, you can get this type of insight from Felder on his bulletin. He got a new fancy logo cracking for this weekend. He's got wing recipes. I mean, just living your best life over there in the internet, man. You really are. It's good stuff. Yeah. You want to jump into the Felder 5? You want to get into it?
You want, 7 edition? Let's do that, man. Hang on. What's the Hartzell hat trick?
Well, we don't have a guest. So I was like, you know what? I'm not just going to put all the weight on Felder. I'm going to contribute with a couple of talking points, and I'll bounce some of this stuff off of you. So I'll go first.
You go first.
I ain't scared. Cincinnati and UCF on Saturday, high noon. This would have been the primetime game. College game day would have been in town if UCF had held up their end of the bargain, which obviously they have not. Here's my take, though. Cincinnati needs to put on a show the rest of the way. I mean, they have no control over what happens in the SEC. They have no control what happens with Oklahoma. Obviously, you got
the Big Ten East
with all those heavyweights that still have yet to play each other.
They need Notre Dame.
Yeah, Cincinnati can't control any of that. They can't control what Notre Dame does the rest of the season. The Indiana loss is looking like a pretty meh win. But they need to go out and flex on people in conference play. UCF is still a brand name. So let's see what happens when Gus Malzahn and them boys roll into town on Saturday. I think Cincinnati needs to just basically close the door on everybody early and often.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have, UCF's got their own problems, right?
Yeah, they're beat up.
Like, they are beat up. Like, this team, they've got injuries all over the place. They've got, you know, no starting quarterback. They've got, it is what it is. So we'll see what happens for this ball club. But yeah, I agree with you. Cincinnati has to. This is one of those things where it's what did we used to call it in the BCS? Style points?
Yeah.
Yeah, they need style points. So, yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I think it matters because Cincinnati's schedule, they've got one ranked team left, SMU, and who knows if they'll still be ranked by the time they hook up down the road. All right, number two on the Hartzell hat trick. We talked about it a little bit with Texas. Are they going to let Oklahoma beat them twice? Because the Longhorns have to come home. They've got an undefeated Oklahoma State team that's rolling into town. The Pokes are off a bye. It's an early kick in Austin. Like, I love Texas's offense, man. I mean, it's awesome to watch.
Do you think that it would be Oklahoma beating them twice and not just Oklahoma State is better than them?
Well, I mean, the hangover. Like, there's a couple of games this week where there's a potential hangover. A&M's got to go to Columbia to play a Missouri team that's been, you know, pretty trash all season. Yeah. But again, it's college football. It's a bunch of 18 to 22-year-olds. You got to get up after a big win. So here's the thing about Oklahoma State, Felder. I haven't been able to figure these guys out, man, because they're not doing it with their offense.
No.
Like, they're not doing it in your traditional Mike Gundy style. Spencer Sanders has gotten better the last couple of weeks about not turning the ball over. But you look at some of those wins, like, who have they beaten? Like, the Boise State win, if you're hanging your hat on that, yes, it's tough to go to Boise and win on the blue turf. But
this ain't your older brother's
blue turf, and I know that you've got Boise State winning that game because of a scoop and score that didn't happen.
Yes, yeah, that's – yeah, 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 yeah. But, no, I just – they're a top 20 defense. They've played against – I mean, the amount of plays that they've played – I mean, they played 300 and what is it? They played 335 plays or something like that, and they're a top 20 defense. Like, that means they're good.
Yeah, they're 5-0. I mean, they're ranked number 12 in the country. Here's the thing, though. Texas is favored to win this game. Like, they're at home. They are favored in Vegas to take care of their business here. And I'm just saying, there's a huge difference coming out of this Saturday if you're Texas being 4-3 or 5-2. Like, yes, it's a momentum thing. Like, you've got Sark. It's year one. You know, Casey Thompson and the boys on offense are cooking. But, man, sure, if you lose at home to Oklahoma State after the way you lost that Oklahoma game, now you're just, I mean, you're a middling 8-4, 7-5 football team. And so Texas still has a chance here. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with Oklahoma down the stretch. You know how the Big 12 conference,
sure,
stuff works. I mean, you could get another shot at those guys in the title game, but you got to go out and you got to bounce back. So for me, this is a Sark thing. This is a messaging thing. Like, come on, guys, let's go.
I think Oklahoma State's maybe the worst team to bounce back against. They are, it's very weird, but they feel like what Kansas State felt like in past years, where they find offense wherever they need it, and their defense is good enough to get them through stuff. No stars, really, on the defense. I think Warren is really good, but from an offensive side, they don't even have the Blackman or Tylan Wallet. Like, they don't even have that at the wide receiver spot.
Yeah, no Chuba. Yeah, right?
Yeah, Chuba Hubbard. Yeah, they don't have any, like, they just, Warren is really good, though. But they've just find enough offense to win, and as they go through and find that offense, their defense is what carries them. So I don't know that it's going to be Oklahoma beating Texas twice. I think it might just be Oklahoma State beating Texas, so we'll see.
And conversely, like, yeah, if Oklahoma State can win on the road, you start looking at them a little bit differently. You start looking at Bedlam at the end of the year potentially, yeah, being a monster game, and that is in Norman. That's in Stillwater this year. So that could be a lot of fun the week of Thanksgiving. All right.
Still don't understand how people are allowed to have those paddles in the stadium.
Yeah, it's a good point, man. They bang them on the pads, like on the foam. That's another thing about that stadium. That's a dangerous stadium, dude. You've got the brick, like, wall. I know there's pads, but it is not far off the field.
But, like, I can you imagine if you went to an Alabama game and you're like, don't worry, I'm bringing this 4-foot wooden stick in with me.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Like, I still don't understand. I'm like, wait, they let you bring them in?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Me showing up to Keenan with a huge wooden paddle, they'd be like, hey, man, you can't bring that in.
Right. For obvious reasons, sir. We're not going to let you bring in a No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Like, imagine like an NFL game where they had like this whole clear bag policy, and you show up with your Giants paddle and they're like, what are you doing? Well, who do you think you are?
Dude, I think that they do this now at like pro games when they're giving away like a baseball or like a mini bat or stuff like that. They give it to you on your way out of the stadium now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they don't give it to you going. This isn't everywhere. This happened the last time I went to an Atlanta Braves game, which was a long time ago. But it's for that reason, Felder. It's like, yeah, we're not going to give you anything that can be used as a projectile or a weapon. Hell, they don't even give you, like, when you order a bottled water at like a concert or a sporting event, they take the top off.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we don't want you filling this up with stuff and throwing it at people. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, anyway.
I don't know. It's wild.
You're not
wrong.
Yeah, you ain't wrong. All right, last but not least on my Hartzell hat trick. And we will not make this a recurring segment because I realize it is corny, the Hartzell hat trick. Felder 5 sounds a lot better. I put this game on there because it didn't make your list. Florida LSU, man. Like.
Yeah, what about it?
Buddy, LSU. I saw somebody put this on Twitter. They've hit every branch on the way down. Mm-hmm. Like, just injuries.
Ricks.
Stingley.
Boutte.
Now you got the kid, the defensive lineman. Is it Allie Gay? I mean, you've got all this talent that's not playing. You've got a coach who is under fire. You're riding a two-game losing streak. Both of those games were games that you, quote-unquote, had to have.
Yeah.
Now you come home. You got to play at 11 a.m. Central Time. You're playing a Florida team whose season you ruined last year. Yes, the shoe game was funny, blah, blah, blah. It was not funny for Florida fans. Like,
sure,
that was a Florida team that was in the top 10. They were favored by, like, 3 touchdowns at home. And LSU went on the road with a backup quarterback and beat him at the Swamp. You ruined Florida's season. So here's the deal. I think we all know how this is going to go. Like, I think people are going to be shocked if LSU wins this game. But, man, if this team doesn't bow up now, they never will.
Like, I think they're going to get blown out.
There you go.
And that's no it's not any disrespect to LSU. I just think that the odds are so stacked against them. And I think there is this measure and level of that. I think what we're going to see is a really bright spotlight on how less than other coaches qualified Ed Orgeron is. Because in theory, like, this is a, like, you're saying bow up and you're thinking, like, it's time to nut up or shut up. Like, and I think Ed Orgeron's probably going to say those same things. We're going to be tough and we're going to go out there and be tough and go tough guys and we're going to be tough. But what you have to do is dial in your assets and your resources and recognize where you have opportunity. And I just don't know that that's a thing that he's capable or qualified to do.
Well, you know, ultimately, you're the head coach. You know, you are responsible for making the hires in terms of the staff that you put around you. Like, nobody's doubting Orgeron's ability to recruit, okay? But the decisions he's made at the coordinator spot since Joe Brady left, like Durante Jones, the defensive coordinator, it just, this isn't a very good defense right now. This team has a hard time tackling, okay?
Right. Well, and this is, I'm not a Bo Pelini quote-unquote defender, but I think what we're seeing is, oh, maybe it wasn't all his fault.
Sure.
Maybe it wasn't all his fault. We have guys who still refuse to play good zone coverage. And I think the rise of Iowa should make it even more clear, right? That, like, oh, zone coverage does work if your guys buy into it. And Iowa, we agree they have lesser players than LSU?
Absolutely.
And yet, they play better coverage and tackle better. Every single game. Like, that was a big, like, pet peeve. You know, we talked about it. It was a pet peeve of mine from a year ago, especially because I played in that defense. And I know they should have been playing more zone. And then you had guys just playing man coverage anyways. And Ed Orgeron even said, we can't get on the same page on defense. You know, you got some guys doing one thing over here, another guy doing other stuff over there. We got to get on the same page. Then so Bo Pelini eats it, right? He gets fired. Bring in another defensive coordinator. What happens? Looks the same to me, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I get it. You don't have Stingley. You don't have Ricks. Yes, sure. Your best players. You know what if you don't have your best two man corners, you know what you should be fucking playing? Zone.
Yeah, not man.
Good grief, man. You're telling me that... I just wish people could recognize that one thing about it.
And by the way, you know, LSU, yes, they're at home. They are a double-digit underdog in this game, which is just... I mean, you think of the Florida-LSU series. I mean, that is a rivalry. And these teams get after each other. They play close games. It's just shocking to see. The remaining schedule, though, for LSU, like, you know.
It's harder.
Yeah, after this, you got to go to Oxford. You got to go to Tuscaloosa. And, oh, yeah, you got Arkansas and A&M in November. Like,
if you don't think that Lane Kiffin is licking his chops to embarrass them.
Sure.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Lane Kiffin is, he's looking to embarrass everybody. In the process, he often embarrasses himself as well.
Sure.
See the pregame interview with Alabama. Get your popcorn ready. That's become a meme for the rest of the season. But we'll get to Lane Kiffin a little bit later. But, yeah, LSU, Florida, Saturday, high noon, 11 a.m. local time at Tiger Stadium. That place is going to be – it's not going to be empty. But, man, it's not going to be what you think about when you think about football on a Saturday in Baton Rouge. And so if this fan base you nailed it. Like, you think it's going to be a blowout. I do, too. I think this game gets out of hand. And, like, honestly, given what's on the schedule the rest of the way, I don't know how Coach O can hang around. Like, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about a football team that, like, not exaggerating, this team could be 4-8 at the end of the year. And I don't know how you survive that coming off of a 5-5 season the year prior. I think all the capital that you built up going 15-0 and having what is now pretty much confirmed lightning in a bottle with Joe Burrow and Joe Brady and that whole group. Yeah, I don't know. I think you've burned through all that capital pretty quick.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
All right. Felder 5, what you got for me, my man? Week 7 edition.
So we're starting with Lane Kiffin. And here's the thing. I keep seeing these like articles about return to Knoxville, return to Knoxville. We're doing radio. People ask me about return to Knoxville. Is this a big deal? Like, who cares?
This is the part of college football that you correctly have called out, which is y'all care about the soap opera. I care about the scheme.
Yeah.
Like, I care about what's happening between the lines.
Like, this is a game. This game is an interesting game to me.
Fascinating.
Because we have Tennessee out of almost nowhere. Like, we saw a little glimpse of it when they played, what, Pitt? They've become a team that can score.
Lots.
Score a lot. And did you have that on your board for this year?
That was the plan, right? But in year one with Josh Heupel, knowing that they were going to be having some, you know, quarterback roulette going on. I mean, to answer your question, no. But the last two games at halftime, 38-7, 45-10. They are balling on that side of the football.
Is Hooker healthy?
Yes.
Good. Because I know that he came out for something and then went back in. So, yeah, I mean, they could score. So, I'm looking at that and I'm just like, let's see what happens here. Like, Matt Corral is one of the front runners for the Heisman at this point, which I don't know. I don't know if he can win the Heisman. Do you think he can win the Heisman?
No.
Right. Same. They're not going to win enough games.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. You and I, like, on this show, just in general, like, I put very little stock. Like, philosophically, college sports now does not care about the Heisman Trophy. Like, we just don't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't want to sidetrack this. Yeah, you can't win the Heisman Trophy if you get your ass kicked by Alabama. Sorry, it's just...
Yeah, I mean, that's just the reality.
It works, yeah.
And I just think that, like, I don't know, I don't care about this soap opera with the link and everything, but I am very fascinated by both of these offenses squaring off and which defense is able to make a play. Because it's not going to be one defense shutting down the other defense. It's going to be who can force or take advantage of a mistake. That's the part that's going to be interesting.
Or it could be like what Ole Miss has run into the last couple weeks where it's 4th-and-2 on the opponent's 30, and, yeah, you're moving the football, but you get turned around. Like, you get stoned on 4th-and-1 inside the red zone. Like Lane Kiffin correctly has been going for it on these 4th-and-shorts, but I think he was like 1 of 4 against Alabama.
Sure.
He got turned around against Arkansas a couple times last week. So, yeah, the over-under in this game, Felder, I know you're not into like betting on this stuff, but like Vegas has it at 82.
Ooh.
So it's going to be.
What was it? Ole Miss, Arkansas was, what, 103?
Yeah. It was very close to being 105. So, yeah, it was a game.
I do radio in Arkansas every other week. And I kind of made the, like an offhand comment as we were talking about the game. I said, I will say this. I did appreciate going for two. Saved us from overtime. And they were like, yeah, I think Arkansas fans were also very happy too. Like, that was a very stressful ordeal. And we did not need more football game.
It was the right call. I mean, was the play call the right call? I mean, yeah, you could talk about that all week. But, yeah, you're on the road in Oxford. You got a play from the three-yard line to win it. Yeah, man. Sam Pittman, like, that's why everybody loves Sam Pittman. Like, he gets it. Like, it's an easy program to root for. By the way, KJ Jefferson is a large man.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Like, he's super athletic. I'm not calling him fat. Like, I'm not saying he's out of shape.
He's a huge giant that can move.
He is. I mean, he's listed at, like, 240. He's a lot bigger than 240.
Yes.
Anyway, proceed.
Four. Baylor's defense against the quality BYU football team, healthy Jaren Hall, plus you throw in Algiers in there. If Baylor wins this game, they're going to be ranked, right?
I mean, I think they should be, considering their one loss is to an undefeated Oklahoma State. Yes, this is an intriguing game. Very intriguing game. BYU got embarrassed at home last week. And
yes, they did.
I mean, classic college football Saturday where you just can't get out of your own way and you keep giving your opponent turnovers inside your 20. Like, every time I looked up, Boise State was, like, starting a drive from inside the red zone because BYU had just coughed it up. So,
this is not Boise State that's, like, a top 12 team. This is this year's model.
Right.
So, I don't know. Baylor's been an interesting watch for me. I think they're only giving up, 18 points a game. They've played, like, even in the loss to Oklahoma State, they only gave up 24 points. They just couldn't get their offense cooking the way they wanted to.
They got some dudes, man. Have you seen? I mean, they got some guys in Waco, man.
I know.
Like, the Treston Ebner kid is really good at tailback and at kick returner. I don't think Bohannon's thrown a pick all season. Like, they got some guys.
I like that kid. I like Bohannon. He is very fun. Remember, he was kind of like the third pick, right? He was the third guy. Everyone thought that Zeno and I don't remember the name of the other kid. They thought they were going to be the starters coming out of spring. And then Bohannon was like, no. Look at me. I'm good. Watch me whip and watch me nay-nay.
Dude, here's the thing. I'm happy for Dave Aranda because as a first-year head coach, Baylor was 2-7 last year, but you got no spring. You got COVID. I remember Baylor had to reschedule their season opener like 5 or 6 times. Like, everybody,
it was a long.
Yeah, everybody that they tried to play either got COVID or they had to move the location. They were trying to play Houston. Yeah. They were trying to play all these teams, and like, it just wasn't getting off the ground. And so now you look at a guy like, put Dave Aranda and Mel Tucker in the same boat, man. Year two?
Yes. Yeah.
Completely different program. Like, you let us have a proper offseason, we're better than what you saw last year. So I'm happy for him.
I love that. All right, so next one. Oklahoma's quarterback situation against TCU. You want to talk about a team that has been way more explosive than I expected. That's TCU, man. Like, I didn't – and I think the first time I noticed it, because we talked to Landry Bernine, right? And this is a team that's going to have to lean on their offense a little more than they like to.
Yeah.
But I think I took the two losses, right? Southern Miss and obviously the Texas loss, lose to Texas by 5. But I think now they're like, no, okay, we're explosive. We're going to lean in on our offense. We're going to make sure we get the ball to Tay Barber. We're going to get it to Darius Davis. And we're going to find ways to move the ball through the air. And we're going to make big plays. And Zach Evans is a beast.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason everybody wanted that dude.
He's 5-star, wasn't he?
Yeah. Zach Evans, monster. Beast, savage. Let's go. Oklahoma, they gave up a ton of yards to Bijan Robinson, didn't they?
Dude, Bijan Robinson looked amazing in the first half of that game last week.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see what his – I don't remember what his numbers were. I know that he looked good. I just don't remember what the numbers were.
I mean, he hit the brakes.
137?
Yeah, he hit the brakes on one of those runs against Oklahoma, and it was –
No, the stiff arm. Did you see the stiff arm where the guy just popped back up?
Dude, what I'm saying is, it was like I saw Reggie Bush on the field in the Cotton Bowl last Saturday.
Wow. For
a couple of those runs, it was looking. Wow. It was fierce, dude.
Wow.
I'm just saying. Wow. But you're right. You're right about TCU, man. They've given up over 31 to everybody they've played that isn't Duquesne.
Yeah. And so that's highly out of character.
Yeah. This isn't your typical Gary Patterson team. That said, if you want to trade scores with Oklahoma, like, it's your funeral. Like, that's...
We'll see. I think this is going to be an interesting one because for TCU, like, Bijan Robinson exposed some rushing issues, some rushing defense issues that we had not seen before out of Oklahoma. They'd been really good against the run. I think going into that game, they were what? They were eighth nationally against the run? Something like that. And obviously, Bijan Robinson exposed some of that. I think Zach Evans is going to find some ways to make moves. But they have a really hard time against the pass. Like going against, like playing, whether it's man or zone, they get stretched vertically and it's like they've never practiced before. They don't tackle and they certainly don't communicate or carry routes.
I mean, you giving TCU a shot here to pull the upset? It's in Norman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really? Okay.
Yes. What has Oklahoma done that makes you think that they're going to blow out TCU?
I mean, I just saw them save their season against a rival last Saturday. So,
and they won by?
They won by 7, and they scored a field goal, or they scored a touchdown as time expired. But, yeah, okay. Listen, they trailed 59. And listen, don't talk to me about I had Texas as that's my dog last week, man. I was feeling real good about things, all right? I told the people on last Friday's show, Felder, I said Texas will beat Oklahoma straight up.
And you felt really good about it.
For 59 and a half minutes, they did.
Yeah. And then they lost. But Oklahoma didn't blow them out.
No, they did not.
So, absolutely. Number two, NC State, Boston College. A lot of goodwill and good feel in Raleighwood. Can they beat BC?
Sneaky good game right here. I'm glad this made the list. Way to get back to your ACC roots, young man.
That's all. I just want to see if they can have the composure and the kind of the stick-to-itiveness to go out and beat Boston College, because BC's been a tough out for just about everybody.
Not just that. Do you know what happened when NC State played their lone road game this year?
Oh, they got smoked by Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was 24-10, but at no point did NC State give you any signs that they were going to do anything in that game.
Yeah, they looked awful.
And as we have learned, and this is like becoming my thesis statement for college football in 2021, Felder, it sounds simple, but man, it is hard to win on the road in college football this year. It's hard.
Sure.
Boston College at night, you know, crack jokes all you want about BC and Chestnut Hill, blah, blah, blah. It's a tough place to play, man. It's a tough place to play at night. So, yeah, this is a big game. NC State, I think that's a good point, man. You got to go out and validate what you've done.
Sure.
Because if you lose at Boston College, you've undone a lot of the goodwill that you've earned. Yeah, that's a good point. This is a classic Dave Doran loss right here. Like, this is the type of game that the Dave Doran haters, the guy's been there for what, 8-9 years now? I mean, this is the type
Has
of game.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
That's why they always talk about, like, when are they going to let Dave Doran go? He is in his 9th year in Raleigh.
Oh, my goodness.
But his best season is, like, he's your 9-4, 8-5 coach.
Now?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I know, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But this is the type of game that drives Wolfpack fans crazy, because this is the type of game they lose. And by the way, they escaped Louisiana Tech. You kind of saw that coming, because you're like, you know, you rush the field, you beat Clemson, now you got to get back up for La Tech.
Well, so, La Tech's good.
They are fine. They're fine.
I still think about that Hail Mary loss to SMU, but they've had you want to talk about a team that's had some gutting, crushing losses. Good grief. And number one, are you tough enough? Georgia versus Kentucky.
Mm.
And This game, like, do you think Georgia blows out Kentucky?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Only because, listen, man, we feel like we could do a whole show on this game. Like, Georgia is going out there, and they are playing for blood in the first half, and then they're just draining coasting the clock. They're just, yeah, yes, let's get out of here. Like, our quarterbacks are hurt. Like, let's just run this ball 40 times and get out of here.
And that's why I put it under the are you tough enough, because do you think Kentucky is tough enough to stop their run game, slow down their run game, and force them to have to throw? I think that there was a level of respect, a measure of respect paid to Auburn that was not paid to Arkansas from the Georgia side of things. Because against Arkansas, they only threw the ball 11 times. Against Auburn, they did feel like they had to at least show some semblance of throwing the ball down the field so they could open up some run lanes.
Yeah, Stetson Bennett getting around there and running for like 30, 40 yards. Didn't see that coming.
Right. So they had to, they did some other different things. I think we see, do you think they treat them like Arkansas or they treat them like Auburn?
I think they treat them like Arkansas, honestly. I mean, look, Kentucky's bringing the goods on the trenches, man. They've got maybe the best offensive line in the country, definitely in the SEC. Like, they are very stout along the lines of scrimmage. You've got really good running backs. You've got one wide receiver in Wandale Robinson, who's a threat. But, like, yeah, I mean, Kentucky knows what they are. Felder, this is one of the things you love to talk about, man. Like, there's no identity crisis here. Like, these guys know what they do well.
So that's what I'm curious to watch. I want to see that. That's what I want to see. I want to see, like, how thick-necked, angry Kentucky can be in this football game.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's it. That's all. That's the Felder Five. I think UGA wins. I just want to see how much it takes for Georgia to knock them out.
Dude, you've got guys like on that Kentucky offensive line, like, you know, Darian Kennard, Luke Fortner, these dudes. This is a money game for them.
Yes. I mean,
if you can hold your own between the hedges against what people are saying historically is one of the best college football defenses ever.
Yeah.
I mean, just listen, just give Chris Rodriguez a chance. Like, give him a chance to make a play or two.
Yep. And he runs. I've said this before. I hope we don't see a ton of people get hurt in this football game.
Yeah.
Because this game is going to be remarkably violent. Incredibly violent. Incredibly physical. Like, it's going to be... This is two teams... Like, it's going to look like... Rocky's not real boxing, you know? There's not a lot of defense in it. But this is going to look like like a Rocky fight where it's just people hitting each other over and over again. Neither of these teams is interested in protecting themselves. They are interested in hurting the other person.
I think this is cool just because I've always enjoyed how Mark Stoops has gone about his business in Lexington. You know, the slow, steady build. And the player development, like, you're not going out there and recruiting at the level that Kirby Smart is, okay? But when you get guys who are, you know, three-star talent, you coach them up, and they stick around in the program. So
it's the same process as Iowa. It's the same process as Wisconsin. It's the same process a lot of times as TCU, with the exception of Zach Evans. It's the same process as Utah. It's the same process as all these places that do a good job with this.
Correct.
And the problem, you know what the problem for Kentucky is? They happen to square up a really good year the same year that Georgia's really good.
Sure.
If this was Fromm's last year with this Kentucky team, maybe they get to go to the SEC championship game. If this was this Kentucky team next year, maybe they get to go to the SEC championship game. You see what I'm saying? Like, they just can't control. They can't. They're not in charge of Georgia. So their good years, if their good years line up with other good years, they're going to be in a little bit of trouble. But absolutely, this is a team that's like, they're on a rotational basis of, we're going to be consistently fine, and then every now and then we're going to be really good.
Yeah, and in the SEC, there's few programs who do it that way. Like, okay, maybe Mississippi State out of the West in terms of, like, going out and getting guys that aren't, you know, 4- and 5-star players and developing them and sticking them around in the program. At least that's what Dan Mullen did. My point is, with what Mark Stoops is doing at Kentucky, considering how everybody else is doing business in the SEC, when they can put together a team like this, the start that they've had, you know, they've handled their business. They beat Florida for the first time since 1986 at home. They're already in the midst of kind of some rarefied air. But here's the thing, Felder. I don't think it's hyperbole to say this has the potential to be, if you find a way to go down to Athens and you've got, and you're hanging around in this game, which again, like, highly unlikely, but this has the chance to be the biggest football game in Kentucky program history. Like, it has a chance. And
wow,
so
bigger than the Andre Woodson game against South Carolina.
Yes. Shout out to Andre Woodson. That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Oh, yeah, baby. We only play the deep cuts.
So this
is all B-sides.
B-sides and rarities. Are you of the belief that Kentucky keeps this thing close?
I think for 45 minutes.
It's a big spread. Big spread.
Sure. I think for 45 minutes we see a punching contest, and I think at the end of the day, Georgia just has too many bodies.
Yeah.
Too much size.
By the way, we opened the show talking about quarterbacks. From what I've been reading and deciphering in Athens this week, it sounds like JT Daniels is on the football equivalent of like a pitch count, where he's throwing the ball like 30 times in practice, 40 times in practice, and then being evaluated.
They're trying to get him to play, but we'll see what happens.
But here's the thing. You got a bye coming up after this and Florida on deck in Jacksonville the week of Halloween. So
if Kentucky puts their hands on him, they're going to hurt him.
Correct.
More.
Yes, correct. I do. Given what Stetson Bennett did to Auburn last week, I mean, we make fun of the mailman because, you know, he's like 5'8" and his nickname's the mailman. But the dude played really well at Jordan-Hare. Yeah. There is no point in rushing back JT Daniels if he's not ready to go. Kentucky will try to break him.
If they get a chance to put their hands on him, they're going to hurt him. Like, that's the reality. That's one of the reasons I love watching Kentucky play. They hit everyone so hard. Like, not even a joke. Like, no joke. Like, everybody on defense wants to hit hard and yada, yada, yada. But, like, they deliver these body shots that are crippling.
By the way, the last 2 years in this rivalry, I mean, these are the types of games you've gotten. 14-3, 21-0.
Yeah.
To your point, now both of those were Georgia wins, but to your point, Felder, like, Kentucky is all about lining it up and being like, let's go. Let's just battle. So
they do the thing. They do the thing that my brother and I used to do. We only had one set of boxing gloves, so we each put one glove on, and then we hit each other. There was no defense. There's no defense. It was just you punch me, I punch you. You punch me, I punch you. Whoever wants to stop first is the loser. And that's the way that I kind of live my life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's medieval, man. All right, you want to get out of here with a little That's My Dog?
Let's do that. Let's knock that out. You got
that's
me up
my
early.
Dog.
Take that.
That's
Take
my
that.
Dog. Say that right, Mom. That's my dog. That's my dog. That's my dog. That's my dog. And anybody got to say anything, you let me know. That's my dog.
Thank you, Smokey.
Boom.
Last week was not great for the fellas here in the picks department. We had some near misses, man. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, being close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, blah, blah, blah. But, man, we gave you Nebraska. We gave you Texas. We were feeling good.
Yeah.
Felder gave you Penn State. I mean, up 17-3, just handling business on the road. But, you know, it's college football, man. Stuff happens. Injuries, you got to go the full 60. So we're going to bounce back. I'm not worried about it. I'm here to shake it off, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
you want to defend your loss. Go ahead. Tell me why you shouldn't be punished and graded as a loss by giving out Penn State plus two when they lost by three?
Because Penn State, with their quarterback, would have won. They would have won the game. They would have won the football game. Clifford gets hurt. Now I've got a guy nobody's ever seen play. I would have never picked Penn State if I knew that Roberson was going to be the quarterback. I was operating on bad information.
I mean, tell that to the guy who's working in construction, Felder, who lost his paycheck because you gave out Penn State plus two and they lost by three. I mean, that's not putting food on the table, man.
Yeah. I'll take the loss, but I'm just saying it's under protest.
Okay, take the L under protest. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to bounce back. I'm going to give you one this week. I tried to get them both back last week.
Yeah, you tried to get two. You tried to get back, and yeah, that did classic, not go well.
Classic chasing. It didn't work. So now I'm in an even bigger hole. But guess what? I'm going to dig myself out 1 week at a time. Week 7 pick of That's My Dog at home. Yeah. Give me Tennessee at home.
Really?
As a home underdog, they're catching 2.5. Don't need the points because the Vols are going to win straight up. Da, 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 na, 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 na. What you know about that, Felder?
I know about Rocky. Corn don't grow at all on Rocky Top. Dirt's too rocky by far or something like that.
Yeah, well, judges, yes, we will accept
that's why
that.
That's why all the folks on Rocky Top get their corn from a jar.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Give me them Vols, baby. Plus 2.5 at home. Felder, do you want to chase your loss from last week, or do you want to sit this one out? Because our man Tripp back in the studio has got one.
Tripp, go, and then I'll figure it out. I got to figure something out.
Tripp's pick to click. Last week he gave out Rutgers plus 5.5. That thing never had a chance. So, Tripp,
what do you mean it never had a chance? Three plays changed the whole game. Anyways, I'm going to make up for it. I've got. Can I have two this week?
Oh, you're chasing too. Okay. All right. Yeah. Go on, buddy.
Hard.
Go on.
I let my heart get involved with it last week. Not going to happen again this week. All right. I'm taking Boston College plus three at home.
Ooh.
It scares me a little bit that you guys mentioned this earlier in the show, but I'm sticking with it. And I'll take Minnesota at home as well, plus four.
Oh.
Who
is that again? That's against Nebraska, right?
Yep.
Oh.
There's a couple things. One, three plays are why Rutgers didn't win the football game and they lost 31-13.
Yes. I mean, look, it's not my fault Shiano couldn't figure out how to, you know, you might want to put a guy on Naylor.
Yeah.
Because he
Naylor.
Had 200 yards in the first
Naylor.
5 minutes.
Yeah. Speedy Naylor, Felder.
Yeah, Speedy. Let's just ignore that guy. I'm sure they just call him
God.
That because he's slow.
in Tripp's defense, Felder, every time I looked up, I know you watched this game because your wife is a big Sparty fan, Felder. This was on the big screen. Every time I looked up, number 8 was running on the screen and there was nobody around him.
That's because he just...
Yeah, he was running untouched into the end zone from large distances.
So, hey, if you're not going to count that against Felder because of the one play where the quarterback got hurt, we can't count Rutgers against me because... it was obviously the coach's fault. It's not my fault.
My team lost by 3 points with the backup quarterback. Your team lost by 18 points.
It was closer than the score. It was closer than the score.
By the way, I still think Rutgers has a chance to get to a bowl. They're 3-3. People are down on them because they've lost three in a row. But I think they still have a shot. I think they beat Northwestern this weekend. They'll beat Illinois. They got a chance. They're going to sniff a bowl game in Piscataway this year.
I don't really like any of these games, so I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to do the opposite of chasing.
Okay, you're going to sit this one out. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. You're allowed. You're entitled. I mean, I won't get any late Saturday night text from you that says, "That's my dog," but that's okay. You can
Those are good, though. They were fun while they were happening.
They were great. Yeah, they were great. They were phenomenal.
I don't feel strongly about anyone. Like, BC, it feels like NC State's going to they're going to bow up and get it done. I don't know. So I don't trust that one. Then just like, BYU against Baylor. I like Baylor. I like Baylor too much to pick BYU.
Yeah.
So, there we go.
Just sit it out, man. It's okay.
I'm going to sit it out.
Sit this one out. We do have some decent games tonight, by the way. Can I just say that real quick before we get out of here? The Friday night scoreboard is of great interest to me.
Clemson and Cuse.
Clemson and Cuse. That's on at 7. I know you'll be watching Marshall, North Texas, Felder. I know, like, you'll give love to the boys in Denton, Texas tonight. I know you'll be all about that.
I still am trying to figure out what's going on with Marshall.
Yeah, you and everybody else, man.
I don't understand what I don't get it. I've been watching them and watching them. And I'm like, what is happening? All right, yeah. And then we got Cal, Oregon. We get to see Oregon for the first time after that loss to Stanford.
Cal, Oregon.
Also, what happened to San Jose State?
That is a classic 2020 case of lightning in a bottle at this point. I mean, they're not great. They're banged up, too, aren't they? Aren't they a little banged up?
Yeah, but, man, tough watch.
Yeah, you get two ranked teams tonight. You get number 9 Oregon hosting Cal. I mean, Cal's defense is always fun to watch. Those guys just go out there and blow out candles. I mean, they can't score to save their life. But, man, I love watching Justin Wilcox's team play defense. Those guys hit hard.
And then we get San Diego
State at San Jose State. Those two games, by the way, involving ranked teams, kick at 10:30 Eastern.
I'll be up.
Felder, this is a later Friday night than it will be a Saturday night for us.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, Saturday night, like, you've got Arizona State, Utah at 10, Hawaii, Nevada for the Carson Strong lovers. I mean, that's a 10:30
I love
kick.
That. I love him. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
He is very, very good. But, yeah, Mountain West football is – it ain't going to be Boise State this year, folks. It's going to be it's going to be very different. It's going to look very different in December when those teams have to play for a conference championship, because Boise's not going to be involved. San Jose State's not going to be involved. It's going to look a little different for sure.
Yeah.
All right. That is our Felder 5. That's our Felder Friday here on
that's
College
a show.
Sports Now.
Let's get out of here. Tell folks how they can check out the Blitz.
Oh, yeah, the Blitz, Red Zone Radio for College Football, XM84, also available on the Varsity Network app. That's a free app. It's live play-by-play of all the schools that you come to that you come to the show to get updates on. Live play-by-play, it's a free app. Check it out, Varsity Network. Download it, Android, iPhone, all that stuff. Felder, you want to plug your stuff?
Yeah, I have got you can check me out on the Bulletin. ITSFelder.bulletin.com. It's Felder.bulletin.com. Twice a week, I try to deliver there. Weird week this week because I was just exhausted and came out a day late, but usually I hit wings on Wednesdays. Check me out on Stadium, Campus Insiders on Wednesdays, College Kickoff Live on Saturdays. You can probably find some stuff on digital too. If you go to check out WatchStadium.com, we've got Tape Don't Lie. And Tape Don't Lie, the podcast. This week we have Marshall Newhouse on from TCU. Man, wow, I didn't even think about that. The TCU angle, baby. But we got Marshall Newhouse, former NFL offensive lineman and TCU great. And then, of course, Hand in the Dirt. Make sure you check us out.
We're everywhere, folks. For Tripp, for Felder, I'm Hartzell. Enjoy Week 7, everybody. Be safe out there. Watch the games. Have fun. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on Auto Trader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on Auto Trader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.